Okay, well, that gives me the opportunity to say what I often do about now, and that is turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It's a brand new book, at least it's a brand new book for this cycle. It's the third book in the sequence, and of course, you're going to go to the first chapter, the beginning of it, and in the Hebrew, you'll see immediately why it's called what it is, which is Bamidbar, because it says, Ve Yadabar Yahuwah, all Moshe, and spoke Yahuwah, all or unto Moshe, Bamidbar, there it is, Bamidbar, in the wilderness, Sinai, in the tent of meeting on the first day of the second month, the second year after they had come up out of the land of Mitzrayim, and here's what he said, take you the sum of all the congregation, kol edat, of the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, every male by their polls. Now let's pause for a second because there's a couple of things about this that are really interesting. Obviously when we enter into the new book, we know that it's called Numbers in the English. And I would say of the five books of Moshe, this is probably one of the ones that's the best, most appropriate name in the English because there are a lot of numbers in here. And we're going to have a lot of the numbers in this week's Torah portion. It kind of begs the question, why? Why all the numbers? What's the point? And as I was thinking about that question, putting my notes together, I all of a sudden remembered a quote from one of my favorite authors growing up, a science fiction author, Robert Heinlein. But he said this years ago, if it cannot be expressed in figures, it is not science. It is opinion. And I got to thinking about that. That's what it is here with numbers. There is a lot of information in here. The numbers are very much part of the huge amount of information that we're going to get. And the question why is kind of answered by all the ways that you can look at the numbers and use them. Now, obviously we don't know exactly specifically why, but certainly there are a lot of questions, like I said, that the numbers answer, and that is key. I'll go through some of these as we go through the portion itself. But it starts with this one, take you the sum. Well, that's not exactly what it says in the Hebrew. What it says is Seu et Rosh. So Seu is lift up. What are we going to lift up? That's the pointer to the direct object. Lift up what? The Rosh, the head. So lift up the head of all of the B'nai Israel by the father's houses, by their names. And what is fascinating about this is each individual has a name, and the idea is, yeah, it's more than just a head count. It is literally lift up the head, and we're going to make some things that are going to be important remembrances, and as you know from Scripture, they're going to stand the test of time. These are things that are going to be literally recorded for all eternity, certainly for thousands of years since then. Now, who is going to have the head lifted up? Which are the ones we're going to see the numbers for here in this portion? Well, from 20 years old and up, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. So the understanding is these are men of fighting age, essentially. You shall number them by their hosts, you and Aaron. And with you there shall be a man from every tribe, every one the head of his father's house. And here are the names of the men that will stand with you. Now we're going to see the names by the tribes, starting with, of course, the firstborn, the number one son, Reuben, Elitzur, son of Shedeur, of Simeon, Shelumiel, son of Zuri Shaddai, of Judah, Nachshon, son of Aminadab, of Issachar, Nathaniel, son of Zuar, of Zebulun, Eliab, son of Helon, of the children of Joseph. Now remember, Joseph had two sons. They're grafted in, essentially. So we're going to get both of them here. First, Ephraim. Well, of that line, we have Elishama, the son of Amihud. And from Manasseh, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. Of Benjamin, the younger brother of Joseph. Abidan, son of Gideoni, of Dan, Ahiezer, son of Amishaddai, of Asher, Pagiel, son of Ochran, of Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel, and of Naphtali, Ahira, son of Enan. These, it says, were the elect of the Edot, of the congregation, of Ha'edah, actually the singular version, the princes of the tribes of their fathers. They're the heads of the thousands of Israel. We're going to see that the numbers are going to be in the thousands, of course. So Moshe and Aaron took these men that are pointed out by name, and they assembled the whole congregation together on that first day of the second month. They declared their pedigrees and their families by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, 20 years and up, by their polls. So, How many times are we going to hear this? This is important, obviously, because he repeats it and makes it clear. As Yahuwah commanded Moshe, so did he. He counted them, numbered them. Bamidbar Sinai, in the wilderness of Sinai. Now, the children of Reuben, Israel's firstborn. And what we're going to do here is, I'm not going to read all of them, but I am going to read the numbers and the specifics. We're going to find that this paragraph is going to be repeated virtually word for word. And it goes like this. The children of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their generations, by their families, by their fathers' houses, according to the number of names, by their poles. So it's very specific. Every male, 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go to war, those that were numbered of them by the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. 46,500. On the children of Simeon, and again, their generations, by their families, fathers, houses, those that are numbered, every male, 20 and up, all that were able to go through to war, those were numbered. Of Simeon, well, 59,300. Of Gad, similarly, their generations, their families, by their fathers, houses, numbers of names, 20 years old and up, all that are able to go to war. Of Gad, 45,650 were counted or numbered. Of Judah, of those that were able to go to war, 314,000, so 74,600. Of Issachar, their generations, their families, fathers, houses, 20 and up, all that are able to go to war, those were numbered were 54,400. Of Zebulun, we're going to see 57,400. Of Joseph, now we're going to have the breakdown into both families here, the children of Ephraim, their generations, from Zebulun. We got 57,400. And I was talking about Joseph, what I got interrupted there. First Ephraim, those that were numbered of Ephraim, 40,500. And of Manasseh, 32,200. Of Benjamin, we have all those able to go to war, 35,400. Of Dan, 62,700. And of Asher, those that were numbered, 41,500. Finally, Naphtali, by their generations and families, the number was 53,400. These, it says, are those that were numbered, which Moshe and Aaron counted or numbered, the princes of Israel, 12 men, each one for his father's house. All that were numbered, here comes the total of the B'nai Israel by their houses, all of age 20 years old and up, all that were able to go to war, those that were numbered were. Here's a number that I committed to memory years ago because we see it over and over again. It's an important understanding. 603,550. Now, I mentioned some of the reasons why, and I think this is one of them, because here's the total. This is going to be essentially the total number of fighting age men, just over 600,000, but precisely 603,550, 20 and above, that are able to go into war. Later on, we're going to see another count as we get closer to the end, and we're going to find that as various things happen and there are rebellions and so forth that we remember from Scripture, we're going to see the numbers change. And so the numbers here give us the ability to kind of track a lot of things that are going on. One of the things that those of us that really get kind of into the numbers recognize is we can see which tribes get smaller, which ones get bigger, how they're arrayed around the Mishkan and the center of the camp, the kind of a vertical X formation. And we're going to talk about the firstborn. We can look at percentages and see what the ratios there are with firstborn. Lots of interesting stuff that falls out. And I can't help but think, too, that if we had even more understanding, we would probably recognize there's some real significance to the numbers and the ratios and maybe some of the mathematical relationships themselves as well. But that's probably, at this point at least, beyond what he has given me. Now, there's one other thing we might notice at this point that we're missing, and we're going to get more detail on that in just a second. The Levites, it says, right? The sons of Levi, after the tribe of their fathers, they were not numbered among them. One obvious reason, they're not going to go to battle. So Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, "How be it?" In other words, the tribe of Levi you shall not number, nor shall you take the sum of them among the B'nai Israel. But you're going to appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, the Mishkan, all the furniture, all the things that appertain to it, that belong to it. They will bear it, and all the furniture, and they shall minister unto it, and they will be the ones that encamp around about the tabernacle, the Mishkan. Now, when the tabernacle or the Mishkan sets forward, it's the Levites that will take it down. When it's to be pitched, the Levites will be the ones that will set it up. And the common man, he's not going to go near it or he'll end up being put to death. The B'nai Israel shall pitch their tents, every man with his own camp, every man with his own standard according to their hosts. So understand they have kind of a banner or a flag, a way of recognizing where they're supposed to go, where they're going to encamp by their families. The Levites, though, they'll pitch round about the Mishkan of the testimony so that there be no wrath upon the congregation, Edah, of the B'nai Israel, and the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. And then it says, end of the first chapter, thus did the B'nai Israel, according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe, so they did, which is good. Now, chapter 2 begins with, and Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, and he said, the B'nai Israel shall pitch by their father's houses, every man with his own standard, by their ensigns, a good way off they pitch around about the tent of meeting. Now, those that pitch on the east side, that's toward the sunrise, will be of the standard. Now, so here we're going to get them in order. First, Judah, according to their host, the prince of the children of Judah being Nachshon, son of Amminadab, and his host. And again, the number, 74,600. So we're going to get a repetition of the same numbers. Now, as an engineer, anytime I see repetition, I think, well, there's no idle word in Torah, so what is the point here? Well, one, and this is kind of an interesting thing, obviously with redundancy we can do error correction. In other words, we can tell that the text has been properly rendered because this number should be the same. We can go and count and see if and check, did each one of these tribes have the same number? And I've got them in my margin here written so that, in fact, we can not only compare that way, but when we're done, we can add them all up and see if it comes up to, yep, 603,550. So within the Torah and the numbers are actually some things that help us to confirm that, yep, it has been rendered correctly without error all these millennia later. So let me go through from the compass headings here, how people are going to pitch. Starting with the east, we got Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, and all the numbers. And then we get those of the camp of Judah, 186,400. So that is the sum of those three numbers for Judah, for Issachar, and for Zebulun. So we have another check that we can use to confirm the accuracy of the text or other things that are going to kind of make a picture in our minds of how, I mean, think about it. There's over 100,000 people camped to the east of the Mishkan. That's kind of amazing. As a matter of fact, almost 200,000, 186,400 camped on the east side of the Mishkan. Now, moving on to the south side, the standard of the camp of Reuben, prince of the tribe of Reuben, the children thereof, Elitzur, son of Shedeur, and his host. And we're going to get their numbers in order, camped from the Mishkan to the south. Reuben, and then Simeon, and then Gad. The tent of meeting with the camp of the Levites is set forward in the midst of the camps as they encamp, every man in his place by their standards. So in the middle, all around, are the Levites. Now moving on, kind of around the compass, to the west, we have first Ephraim, and then Manasseh, and then Benjamin. Notice that all of the sons of Rachel, the wife of Yaakov, all of those, essentially four sons, but the two sons of Joseph and Benjamin are all there on the west side of his host. All that were numbered to the camp of Ephraim, 108,100. They're to set forth third. We're also going to see that the order of the encampment here and the way they're described is how they head them up, move them out when the time comes. On the north side of the camp, we have first Dan, the prince of the children of Dan, Ahiezer, son of Amishadai, and his host. And then Asher, then Naphtali. All the total there, all that were numbered on that camp. There we go. Here's the sum. 157,600. They are to bring up the rear. They're the last of the set to go. And when it's all said and done, they are numbered all around the compass here. All that were numbered by the camps, same number again, 603,550. But it reminds us, Levites, they were not counted among them as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. So, thus did the B'nai Israel, according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moshe. They pitched their tents by their standards, and that's how they set forward, each one under his standard with his family, according to his father's houses. Now, we're going to talk about the other group that has not been numbered. Here are the generations of Aaron and Moshe in the day that Yahuwah spoke with Moshe in, or Bemidbar. In this case, it's Har Sinai at Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron. Okay, Nadab, firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, four sons of Aaron. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests that were anointed, the Kohanim, when he was consecrated to minister in the office of Kohen. And as you probably remember, it says, Nadab and Abihu died before Yahuwah. They offered strange fire, Bamidbar, Sinai. They didn't have any children. And it was Eleazar and Ithamar that ministered in the office of Kohanim in the presence of Aaron, their father. Then Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, and he said, all right, bring the tribe of Levi near, set them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tent of the meeting. These are the folks that are going to do the service of the Mishkan. They'll keep all the furniture and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the Mishkan. And you shall give the Levites, now think about this, give the Levites unto Aaron and his sons. They are wholly given unto him from the B'nai Israel. So it is in fact the Levites that are under the charge of Aaron. And I assume that means not just physically, but spiritually as well, in order to carry out the tasks that they have. You'll appoint Aaron and his sons that they may keep their Kohanimship, their priesthood. Common man, remember, he that draws nigh will be put to death. Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe, and he said, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel instead of or in place of, and that word here is tachat, every firstborn that opens the womb among the B'nai Israel. The Levites are mine. So normally the firstborn is his, and here he says he's taking the Levites. We're going to find out that there's kind of a close similarity, and it's kind of interesting how the numbers aren't exact, and so there's even a provision for that. Because all the firstborn, he says, are mine. On the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed, I set apart to me, all of the firstborn of Israel, both man and beast. Mine they are. Ani Yahuwah. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, Bemidbar Sinai, and he said, count, number the B'nai Levi by their father's houses, by their families, every male. Now this time the number is different. Not from 20 years old and up. It's from 1 month old and upward. You shall number them. Moshe did. He counted them. He numbered them according to the word of Yahuwah, as he was commanded. And here we go. These are the sons of Levi by their names. First, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And now we're going to see the names of the sons of Gershon, the first listed there, by their families, Libni and Shimei. Sons of Kohath by their families, Amram, Itzar, Hebron, and Uziel. Sons of Merari, Mali, and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites by their father's houses. And of Gershon was the family of the Libnites, the family of the Shemites. And these are the families of the Gershonites. Those that were numbered of them, all the males, month old and up, that was 7,500. So we're going to see that these tribes, because it's a smaller group and a subdivision of a smaller group, are much smaller. But we're going to get the totals and, again, be able to compare them here in just a second. Of the Gershonites, they were to pitch behind the tabernacle to the west. And the prince of their father's house was Eliasaph, son of Lael. And the charge of the sons of Gershon, in other words, what is their job when it comes to the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and the tent? It's the covering, the tent itself, the screen for the door of the tent of meeting, the hangings of the court, the screen for the door of the court by the tabernacle, the altar, round about it, the cords, whatever pertains to the service thereof. So basically, all the coverings, the cords, and the things that are essentially the screens and the parts that cover up the things that are inside. Of Kohath was the family of the Amramites and the family of the Itzarites and the family of the Hebronites and the Uzielites. These are all that make up the Kohathites, or the family of Kohath. According to the number of the males, month old and up, of them there are 8,600. They are keep charge of the sanctuary. Families of the sons of Kohath were to pitch on the south side of the tabernacle and on to the south. princes of their father's house, Eliezaphan, son of Uzziel, and their charge, the things that they are supposed to do, includes the ark. Now we're going to see this is kind of what you might call the primary furniture within, right? The ark itself, the table, the menorah, the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary, the things that the priests used to minister, the screen, anything that pertains to the service thereof. Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, prince of the princes of the Levites, he has oversight of them that keep charge of the sanctuary. So the sub-commander here is Eleazar, son of Aaron. On to Merari, the family of the Mahlites and the Mushites. Here are their families. Those that were numbered of them, according to their males, month old and up, 6,200. Prince of their father's house, in this case Merari, it's Zuriel, son of Abihail, and they pitch from the tabernacle to the north. And their charge, the things that they are supposed to do, are the boards of the tabernacle, the bars, the pillars, the sockets, all the instruments, and everything that pertains to the service thereof. So they basically have the structural components and the boards, and they are going to take care of and bear and carry all of those. The pillars of the court round about, sockets, pins, and cords. And those that were to pitch before the tabernacle to the east, before the tent of meeting, towards the sunrise, okay, final group here, Moshe and Aaron and his sons, keeping charge of the sanctuary for the children of Israel, the common man that drew near their camp, or them, and that part was to be put to death. They that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moshe and Aaron numbered by their families and the males, month old and up, total. So here comes the total of all those three groups. Remember, they're around 7,000 apiece, and the number, 22,200 Levites. So 22,200 Levites. Now, Yahuwah says to Moshe, number all the firstborn males of the B'nai Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And we're going to take the Levites for me, even Yahuwah, in place of Tachat. And that's an important number. Remember, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, same number there, in place of. So it's a substitution, and that's kind of an important fact, because that's the number we're going to see, or the concept that we're going to see laid out to make the equations balance. And in so many places, including what Yeshua does for us, life for life, eye for an eye, measure for measure, lots of elements here, and an eye for an eye is not as good of a translation as an eye in place of, or instead of, in substitution of. So what we're going to see here is the Levites in substitution of the firstborn from among the B'nai Israel. So we got 22,000 Levites. Now, Moshe then numbered them. Says of the cattle of the Levites instead of the firstlings among the cattle of the B'nai Israel. He numbered the cattle too. So Moshe numbered, as Yahuwah commanded, all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And all the firstborn males, according to the number of the names, month old and upward. Now notice this time, firstborn males from a month old and upward, we're not numbering exactly the same. So there's some variation in here, and it's 20 years old and up that we're going to get otherwise. But this time we get a number of 22,273. So there are more firstborn than there are Levites, and we're going to make a substitution. Yahuwah then says to Moshe, take the Levites instead of Tachat, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle. Levites will be mine, even Yahuwah's. Now, as for the redemption, we got this difference, right? The difference here, the redemption of these 273 and 13. So 273 extra among the actual firstborn of B'nai Israel, over and above the number of the Levites. So, you take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary, 20 gerahs. You're going to give that 273 times 5 shekels that remain over unto Aaron and his sons. So Moshe took the redemption money from them over and above those that were redeemed by the Levites. The firstborn of the B'nai Israel, he took the kesef, the silver, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. Again, lots of numbers, and we can compare and check and make sure that the numbers, in fact, add up. The math is correct. Moshe gave the redemption money, and that means the text is correct, too, and that the numbers and the things that are in there didn't get mistranslated. I also note, and I started to mention this a second ago, but I got to finish it, because there are people that have gone through, you may have heard about this, some of the mathematics of the Torah, and done what they call ELS, or equidistant letter spacing. And it's always kind of fascinating to me with a background in coding theory and ways to confirm and use numbers and cross checks in various kinds of data to see if it's accurate or not, that there are some pretty fascinating things that apply to the Torah, and we can compare the numbers, and I think that's part of the reason why when we see text like we did in here that looks redundant, same thing over and over again, well, there's more to it. And that's interesting. It's one of those things that kind of helped me as a nerdy engineer to say, wow, there really is something divine here. There is more to this than just meets the eye. And it's part of the reason why it's important that understand those things don't necessarily translate to different languages, because the numbers and the spacings, they're not going to be the same in any other language except the original. So Moshe gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons according to the word of Yahuwah, as Yahuwah commanded Moshe. Now it says, Yahuwah spoke to Moshe and Aaron, and he said, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the Levites by the father's houses. Now this time, it's 30 years old and upward, up to 50. So 30 to 50, those that do the service of the tent of meeting. Here is the service of Kohath in the tent of meetings concerning the most holy things, the Kadosh Kedoshim. When the camp goes out, get ready to head out and move them up, Aaron goes in first with his sons. They take down the veil of the screen. They cover the Ark of the Testimony with it. Remember, they're the only ones that are allowed to see this. So they're going to cover it up first. They put thereon a covering of seal skin, spread over it a cloth all of blue, and set the staves on it. Now upon the table of showbread, they put a cloth of blue, and the dishes, and the pans, and the bowls, and the jars, and all the continual bread shall remain thereon. And then they spread them over that a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with sealskin, and set the staves thereof. So they're doing all this stuff. This is all in preparation for the move. Then they take a cloth of blue, and they cover the menorah, its light, and its lamps, its tongs, snuff dishes, all the oil vessels, and the things that they use to minister. They put that and all the vessels thereof within a covering of sealskin, and put it upon a bar. On the golden altar, they spread that cloth of blue, cover it with a sealskin, set the staves. Then they shall take all of the vessels of the ministry, where they put things to minister in the sanctuary, and put them, too, in a cloth of blue, cover it with sealskin, put them on a bar. Then they take away the ashes from the altar, spread a purple cloth on that, put all the vessels, the things that they minister, the fire pans, flesh hooks, shovels, vessels, spread upon that a covering of sealskin, set the staves thereof. And when Aaron and his sons have finished, when they've got it all done, covering all the holy furniture, all the holy vessels, the camp is ready to set forward. After that, and only after that, the sons of Kohath will come in and they will carry these things. But it's important, and this sounds like it's really important, they not touch the holy things lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meeting. So if you think about it, I mean, this is quite an interesting charge. You're to carry something which you're not allowed to see, and furthermore, if it comes uncovered and you see it or if you touch it, you die. So I think it's in everyone's interest, especially those people that are going to carry it, to make sure it's properly wrapped and they don't see it when they come in. As for the charge of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, that's the oil for the light, the sweet incense, the continual meal offering, the anointing oil. He has charge of all the tabernacle, all that's therein, whether it's the sanctuary or the furniture. Now, Yahuwah then spoke to Moshe and Aaron, and he said, do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but thus do to them that they might live and not die. When they approach these most holy things, Kadosh Kedoshim, Aaron and his sons go in and appoint every one of them to his service and to his burden. So each person that goes in there is going to know what they need to carry. They're not going to go see the holy things as they're being covered, though, lest they die. So this is now emphasized with this almost the final verse in the portion. The Kohathites are going to carry this stuff, but it's vitally important for their very lives' sake. They do not see them as they're being covered. And you know what? That is the last verse in this week's Torah portion.